You are Locked On Phillies, your daily Philadelphia Phillies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Phillies your first listen every single day. We are free and available on all platforms. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast today for a Locked On Phillies, Locked On Mets crossover edition with my friend Ryan Finkelstein from Locked On Mets. Ryan, how you doing today?
Doing pretty good. It's been a fun off season for the Mets.
Yes, it has. And we will get into that. We will get into what has been a lackluster off season thus far for the Phillies. There's no, you know, I knew the end of the month here had to, you know, get in my thoughts, was kind of trying to delay it a little bit because the lockout, or the what seems like the impending lockout, doesn't begin until Wednesday night at 11:59, because December 1st is the final day. We, of course, are recording this 2:55 p.m. in the East on Tuesday, November 30th. So still possible that some moves kind of work here. Kind of feels like another trade deadline day, if you will, except it's like a free agent type of deadline. Which is not actually a bad thing with a baseball offseason that usually takes forever. It makes for some excitement. So we'll see what happens here in the next, 33 hours or so. But first I have to ask, because we all got together, me, you, the other National League East hosts, how was your Thanksgiving and how many of the foods that were in your drafted team ended up making it onto the table?
All right. So crescent rolls, mac and cheese, both on there. Did make myself a whiskey sour after dinner. I did have an apple crisp for dessert. So I was pretty solid except for the entrees, which I think if you go back to the draft, I didn't know what to draft anyway, because like I said, I don't really care about the entrees. We ended up making some chicken, did not draft that. But other than that, it was a nice Thanksgiving, a nice little small Thanksgiving with my dad and my grandma. Yeah, it was a good time. It was a good time.
Did most important question, you know, for me is did, you know, mac and cheese, mashed potatoes, and what of course we determined was a dessert, cornbread make it onto the table?
You see, it did not, because I actually was tasked with making Thanksgiving, and so my Thanksgiving feast is making the baked mac and cheese. I mean, that is the star of my Thanksgiving. Other than that, you know, I did make a green bean casserole. I made this chicken, like I said, but you know, you're making dinner for two people, so I was kind of, you know, a little bit I didn't want to make mashed potatoes and cornbread. I didn't go too crazy.
And really quickly, you are a Giants fan, correct?
Yep, Mets-Giants.
Mets-Giants. Well, they got a big 13-7 win over my Eagles this past Sunday. Not a great look for the Eagles. It was not necessarily a great NFL game all around. The Eagles lost the turnover battle by 4, and they still had a chance to win on the final drive twice if Jalen Reagor was a competent NFL receiver. But the Giants do get the win. Your thoughts on the G-Men right now before we start talking baseball?
Well, I'll tell you, I work on Sundays. Like I work. That's the one day where I still deliver pizza all day on Sundays. I do that over the weekend. So I haven't been paying attention to football season very much at all. So, and the Giants, particularly since the Odell trade, couldn't care less. I mean, I'll watch them like if I'm around, but I mean, they're terrible. So I don't concern myself with it too much. And honestly, I shouldn't be concerning myself with anything from the NFC East, because the entire division is just terrible.
The Cowboys looked like they were pulling away, coming back down to earth. Certainly, we'll see what happens there in the final 6 weeks or so of the NFL season. All right, let's get into the baseball, which, of course, is what we do here. I will first start with the Mets have had a very loud offseason, I think is fair to say. We were going through kind of the moves that they had made before we went on the air. So far, and this is, again, with 33 hours to go, even before the lockout. This is before the end of November, which we do not usually see this kind of movement. The Mets have acquired the following players: Max Scherzer, 3 years for $130 million. Eduardo Escobar, 2 years for $20 million. Mark Canna, 2 years for $26.5 million. And Starling Marte, 4 years for $78 million. Few questions. Number one, and of course, this pertains to the Phillies, they have to play the Mets 19 times a year. Player most excited about from that group? I imagine Scherzer likely tops most people's list there, but is there a player that you personally are most excited about, or the deal that you're most excited about from there? And then overall, you know, what is your, you know, overarching grade for the New York Mets offseason thus far?
Well, I think with the way you phrased that question, like, obviously everyone is thrilled about Scherzer. Who wouldn't be thrilled to get the guy that's been the best pitcher in baseball for a decade now? But when it comes to the Mets offseason, I was talking about Starling Marte since the end of the year, even probably a little bit at the end of the season. He was the one free agent that made the most sense to me for the Mets. They had to replace Michael Conforto. All they had in their outfield was Brandon Nimmo, and Nimmo has a ton of injury concerns. Hasn't really played more than 120 games, I think only once his entire career. So Starling Marte was the perfect fit. And also, I mean, I'm not going to lie, it always feels good to be right. You know, when you call your shot and say, this is the guy the Mets need to get, and they sign him, there was also that extra personal gratification in that signing. So that one was the one I really appreciated myself. But then, I mean, again, you get Max Scherzer, and that's what the fan base is on cloud nine about right now.
Of course. And of course, when you go and get Max Scherzer, that's, you know, you're going to get an ace, a Cy Young level pitcher. And look, not happy about the fact, I don't think any of the teams, I don't think the Nationals are happy about a guy they once had now pitching against them in the National League East. I know from a Phillies perspective, not happy that, you know, his departure from the NL East lasted all of about 2 months. I know Joe Girardi looks forward to getting into some more art shouting matches with him next season. So that should be a lot of fun. But it's just going to be annoying to see him, you know, in New York Mets blue and orange, which is never a good thing. I wanted to ask you about Canna, because that was a guy who I actually thought made a lot of sense for the Phillies to sign, like an on-base guy who can, you know, play the outfield. What do you make of his deal? 2 years for 26 and a half. If I was the Phillies, I would have probably upped the price on that. I think it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I think it is a good deal. I think that there is a perception that this was a depth signing by the Mets, because there's just a lot of people who don't know who Mark Canna is, because he came from Oakland and no one watches Oakland A's baseball unless you're an A's fan. So I don't think people really understand what this guy has been. He's a starter, and there's something to be said about having a starting level player. Same thing with Eduardo Escobar. He's, you know, his 2019 season kind of skewed some of his stats because he was awesome that year, and that was obviously the juice ball season. So I don't know if he's ever going to be as good as he was that year, but like you said, he gets on base a ton. I think his career on base percentage is over 360. His defense in the outfield has been pretty solid. I think what made the Canna signing really pop was the fact that you had Starling Marte, because if Mark Canna was a replacement for Michael Conforto, I could see fans being like, I don't know if he can quite match what Conforto could bring you on a given year where Conforto has had those big seasons. Now you're basically replacing Dominic Smith in left field with Mark Canna, and that's a huge upgrade. So the combination of those two moves really solidified the Mets outfield in a way that is probably, in my opinion, maybe the biggest change from where the Mets were last year. As much as the Mets struggled in a lot of facets, like pitching wasn't really their problem last year. Their problem was their offense, and particularly finding offense in the outfield. So now you got two guys that can play alongside Nimmo. You got some coverage if Nimmo gets hurt. I really love those two moves.
More Locked On Phillies, Locked On Mets crossover with myself, Dan Wilson, and Ryan Finkelstein coming right up. But first, I have to tell you about Built Bar. Look, Thanksgiving weekend, it might be over, and you know, you might think that means all of the good food and treats have to be over too. But that's not necessarily true, because maybe you want a yummy dessert here as we are about to make the transition into December and the holiday season, whatever holiday it is you celebrate, that you want a dessert that isn't so full of calories and sugar, but it's the perfect time still for Built Bars. Built Bars, the new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. One slice of pie has upwards of 300 calories. That's on the low end. Most Built Bars, they're only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, plenty of protein. Replace that coconut cream pie with the coconut Built Bar. Go for the raspberry Built Bar instead of the raspberry pie. Lots of good flavors to replace any kind of pie, I should say. Low calorie, low carb, low fat, high in protein, covered in 100% real chocolate. Built is a great option for when you're hungry. If Thanksgiving, you know, it didn't come soon enough, or maybe you just want to get a little bit more of it, go for a Built Bar or two. Share some at your family gatherings, getting together for the holidays. Maybe Aunt Betty hasn't tried a Built Bar yet. You know, give her one or two or whatever it is. It'll get off that awkward conversation. She'll enjoy it, and you can enjoy it as well. New surprises all month. Limited time flavors arriving at built.com regularly. So check the site often. There's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday. Of course, if you already missed that, there are sales going on all throughout the month of December, and it will be a huge event. All sorts of surprises. Go to built.com, use that promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, use that promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your order. One last time, that's LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. So we kind of just hit on the Mets offseason a little bit. You know, last year, I would say, fair to say, disappointing season for the Mets, certainly a disappointing season for my Phillies as well. I don't think we ever sat down and necessarily talked about it after the season, where you saw like how you diagnosed the National League East from the season. I mean, or just like how frustrated I was, incredibly frustrated from the Phillies perspective, because it seemed like the year the division was most open. The Phillies ended up finishing in second place with 82 wins. And it's still like they could have easily felt like reached the point where the Braves were. The Mets had a wildly disappointing season after signing Lindor to a huge contract before the year. You're under new ownership, and it seemed like a different direction for the Mets. Now, whether it's injuries or just not living up to expectations, whatever you want to chalk it up to, I would say it's fair to say that both teams, the Phillies and Mets, had disappointing seasons, especially after having a huge series at Citizens Bank Park in August, when it seemed like these two teams would be, you know, duking it out for the division. And then the Braves, following their trade deadline, end up the team emerging and going on to win the World Series. So, A, how do you, I'll say, diagnose what went on with the Mets this season? How disappointed were you in the Mets not contending for the division this season, given how wide open it was? And based upon what they've done so far this offseason, do you think it addresses those needs, or is this mostly just a lot of noise?
Well, I think I actually just wrote something a couple of days ago about the Mets, and I use this analogy where I said, you know, the Mets acted like they had this huge stranglehold on the division in the first half. And really, it was like when you're walking your dog and you just put the leash around your wrist, but you don't actually hold on to it, you know. And as soon as one of those teams was able to step in, the division was just gone from the Mets that quickly. At first, it was the Phillies, honestly, and then the Braves just ended up taking a hold of it, and they grabbed on and they wouldn't let go. So it was really frustrating, especially because we've seen the Braves own this division for so long, and the Mets and the Phillies, they'll have their 2-year pockets where maybe they're successful and they're able to win the division. And, you know, for the Phillies, they actually did get a World Series, at least somewhat recently. The Mets are still dating back to 1986. So it's really frustrating. And it's also frustrating just speaking as a fan of the fact that the Braves now got off their little World Series drought. Because you could always say, hey, you've won the division.
At least we're not them. Yeah.
Yeah. At least you can't get it done in the playoffs. And the Braves took a team that no one was expecting to even make the playoffs. And they have all these dominant teams in previous years with Ronald Acuña Jr. that don't get it done. And then, you know, Jock Peterson and Jorge Soler are hoisting a World Series trophy. So it was really frustrating to watch. But, you know, right now, looking forward, now that I am armed with all the moves that the Mets just made, I don't know if they're all going to work out, but I know the Mets are going for it. And when you're a fan, that's really all you want.
Yes. And just to speak candidly about where the Phillies are right now, they have not made any moves this offseason. In fact, they've had, I don't believe, an addition by subtraction, but the only changes that have really come are Hector Neris moves on to the Houston Astros. A lot of people, you know, we were sitting here making jokes beforehand about, you're like, oh, I'm bummed that Hector Neris isn't with the Phillies anymore because the Mets loved hitting against him. I would have liked him back in a setup guy role. I don't think he's a closer. I don't think he's a guy who should be at the back end of your bullpen, who you're relying to finish games for you, because I think he's proven time in and time out that that's not a role for him. But quite frankly, of the guys who finished the year in the bullpen for the Phillies, once you moved him into that seventh, eighth inning role and he has more of a carved out niche, if you will, I really liked Hector Neris, and I think they're definitely going to miss him. I don't think the bullpen has gotten better because of this. I certainly think it has gotten worse. And given that Dave Dombrowski, I believe, correctly diagnosed that the bullpen is the biggest issue for this team into this offseason, I don't think it's a good thing that they don't have Hector Neris. And I know there are big names floating out there like Mark Melancon and Craig Kimbrell and Kenley Jansen. Also some smaller relievers, or Corey Knebel has also on the pitching side been floating around there this offseason as well. But there are some smaller names too. There's always relievers you can get on the cheap. You know, they sometimes seem like crapshoots. You don't know what kind of year you're going to get out of them. Oftentimes seems like that anytime a reliever gets into Red Phillies pinstripes, they automatically forget how to pitch. But they need to address it, and I would like to see them address it relatively soon. Here's my biggest fear. My biggest fear is that between now and 11:59 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow, the Phillies do nothing, and we enter a long lockout, and the lockout takes us really close to the beginning of the season, and the Phillies are left addressing all of their offseason needs in a very short period of time. And I actually, and I'll ask you from a baseball fan's perspective, I mean, I like it better. I imagine you would like it better too, the way this has kind of worked out, not rooting from the lockout, not rooting for the lockout and all that's going to bring. But this deadline that exists tomorrow night is just causing baseball havoc and just tons of commotion in a very positive way, I think.
Yeah, I think that what if Major League Baseball is paying attention, and the one thing I'll say, not to just stoke a conspiracy theory, but it seems like John Morosi has really done well breaking stories this offseason, and he does report for MLB.com, MLB Network. And so I'm just curious how much this kind of arbitrary deadline is Major League Baseball maybe trying something out, because they pay attention to the other sports. And right now,
you would like to think so anyway.
I guess that's true. Who knows? Rob Manfred, we really don't know. But if they're doing their job correctly, which is trying to make money in this industry of, you know, sports, they would be paying attention to what has worked in the NBA, which is driving a ton of interest by having these periods where NBA free agency is maybe like my favorite time of the year. You know, everything happens that day. It drops, and you know, as a Heat fan, it was like, oh, Kyle Lowry is going to be a member of the Heat, and oh, there's PJ Tucker, and you know, for the Sixers, I'm sure there's been other moves over the years. I mean, you know, the great Tobias Harris, Al Horford offseason that you guys got to enjoy. But
we could do a whole podcast episode on that. Well, yeah, we're sticking to baseball for right now.
But regardless, getting back to my point, if Major League Baseball is paying attention, what they would be doing right now, and part of this CBA is formulating a way to make the winter meetings this incredible transaction time where all of this would happen at once. They should extend the winter meetings, make it a week, somehow set a deadline where it's like, if you're going to get signed to a major league contract, it has to happen by the end of the winter meetings. I don't know how you could implement that, but the players, do they really want to be sitting out towards spring training and waiting to get that deal? I think that was always this negotiation tactic. And what we're learning right now is these deals can get done. There's nothing that gets in the way of a contract getting signed in November or December. It's just these teams trying to posture for leverage in these negotiations. So if you set a deadline on it, you could get all of this excitement. You can have everyone paying attention to your sport for a week, everyone talking about your sport. I think it is the best way to draw fan interest, and particularly young fan interest, because young fans love the trades. They love the free agent signings more than anything else.
I want to talk more about what you just said, but we do have to hit one final break here in episode number one. I want to tell you about betonline.ag. We're back and better than ever, and a new web interface for the start of basketball season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Just use our promo code Locked On to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. So I think what you just said is kind of interesting in terms of, in a usual baseball offseason, we see Bryce Harper, perfect example. And by the way, I was telling you this beforehand. Bryce Harper, by the way, with all these contracts that have been signed, he now has the 18th highest AAV, annual average valuation, of any contract in Major League Baseball. So for a guy who has one of the biggest names in the sport, for a guy who has a contract large enough that he gets overrated chanted everywhere he goes, there are going to be, as of right now, at least 17 players next year making more money than Bryce Harper in the context of the 2022 season, which is incredible, and it almost makes Bryce Harper's contract look like a bargain, considering the guy just won the MVP, which is nuts. But I think what the reason I'm saying this is because of what you just said. What we see in the NFL and the NBA, they are salary cap sports, so the negotiation doesn't go as painstakingly long. It's like the second any team is willing to hit that price ceiling, all the other teams just, you know, basically put their bid in the ring. And then it's just a matter of that player deciding between those two teams. And so that's a much faster process, if you will, expedited process than total free market teams who have large budgets, teams who have smaller budgets, teams who are ready to win, teams who are not willing to dish out contracts of that magnitude. And because there's so many little legal things and stipulations and things of that nature that can be thrown into these contracts, that's why someone like Bryce Harper doesn't sign until February 28th. And it's a cat and mouse game of, all right, well, here's our proposed contract. Scott Boras sends it over to the Phillies, and then the Phillies write back, no, here's our contract, and here it is. And you're just making little cliff notes left and right. And then finally you meet in Vegas at the very end of this whole saga, and you finally get something done because Manny Machado signed a few weeks beforehand and you're up against it and the season's actually about to start. So the deadline previously was just the start of the season. Agents like Scott Boras, who basically run the sport, and players like Bryce Harper seem to have no issue waiting that process out, because ultimately the best deal they were going to get was in, you know, sometimes in February, not November. In this particular case, there is no guarantee of that entire process isn't going to happen. So this deadline inevitably creates itself, short of creating a salary cap. I mean, literally, how would you do it? Are you going to sit here and create a rule and say if you're not signed by the end of the winter meetings, there's some sort of pay decrease, or there's, but because then from a team's perspective, you just wouldn't sign anyone at the winter meetings. Like, what is the mutual rule? I don't even know how you fix it. Create incentive on both sides just to speed it up.
Yeah. I mean, what I just laid out as far as like saying that there's a deadline to sign major league contracts,
I just don't even know if it's realistic.
It's the problem with it is that I think owners would probably be on board with that, because, hey, if we don't sign them, we'll now get them a minor league deal. So like, that's the problem there. I don't know. I really don't know. There has to be some, I don't know if that's even something that you could regulate. It's so tough, but yeah, there's something to it where it's just good for the sport. If the agents, the teams, everyone gets on the same page, we want transaction to happen during the winter meetings for this week. I don't know how you do it. Maybe you set up some type of a waiver system where any free agent that isn't signed to a major league contract after the winter meetings is maybe no longer available to negotiate with every team. Maybe they have to go through a waiver process where teams can stake a claim and they have the first right to negotiate with the player, which would technically, it'd almost be similar to the way the waiver trade deadline used to be, where you had this month after the trade deadline where trades could still happen, but they had to get pushed through waivers. If you could do something like that, maybe it works.
Free agency really waiver don't. System, yeah.
Maybe. It's just an idea. But again, the
I don't think the Players Association would go for it. No. It's a thought,
That's the problem. And because there's so many other things that are going to be negotiated right now, it probably can't get done. But I just hope that, the players, the agents, the teams, the league office, I hope they all recognize what this past, 5 days has meant for the sport. There has been more interest. Like, it's like a trade deadline, and it's almost more fun than a trade deadline, because trades are harder to work out. It's harder to get two teams to agree on prospects and everything else. And when it's just money and you're going to be making signings anyway, I mean, this has just been an incredible amount of spending, a lot of movement that's good for the game.
And I was going to say, I'm going to kind of wrap up episode number one here. Without this type of deadline, Mets definitely don't have this type of offseason this early. Would you say that the Mets offseason has, to this point, exceeded your expectations, been about where you expected, or do you still expect that more is here to come, A, before the deadline, or B, whenever the two sides do get a deal done here?
Well, it's exceeded my expectations, because I did not expect the spending just around the league to be this crazy. I thought that there was certain guys that would want deals. I didn't think it would be like half of the free agents would be trying to sign. But with that, yeah, I mean, I'm thrilled what the Mets have done so far. They've solidified their outfield. They've formed the best 1-2 punch in baseball when it comes to DeGrom and Scherzer. And they got a bat in Eduardo Escobar that can start at third base. And I'm not upset with it. So I'm thrilled with what they've done so far.
That's going to do it for episode number one here of the Locked On Phillies podcast. Again, we want to thank you for making Locked On Phillies your first listen every single day. And we are free and available on all platforms. And, you know, I also want to thank you for, you know, obviously listening to Locked On Phillies. Of course, check out Locked On Mets, but make sure that your second, or in this case, third listen every single day is Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all of your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and it's available on all platforms. Stay tuned for the Locked On Phillies, Locked On Mets crossover episode number two.